Okay, we're talking about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I want to go over the basics again, just to give you a quick overview. The anointing is not the Holy Spirit. The anointing is the power that comes from the Holy Spirit. It is the perpetual propulsion of the power of God. Everybody say that with me now. The perpetual propulsion of the power of God. One more time. Perpetual propulsion of the power of God. What does it mean? Perpetual means it's never ending. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of you, so the power of God never stops. Why? Because God's alive. Where does he dwell? Inside of you. So the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, that the anointing abides within. So every one of you are anointed. Turn to someone and say, you are anointed. Tell somebody else, you are anointed. Now, why is it important to be anointed? Because that enables us to do work on behalf of heaven. That is the supernatural power of God that God wants to release through you. Now, I want to remind you what we're talking about. It's called the laying on of hands. This is elementary school and how to release the power of God. On Sunday, we had a man give his heart to Jesus. He's about 62 or 63 years old. And the last time he had given his heart to Jesus was when he was 16 years old. And so when he was coming away actually, I met him at one of the biker things at the Pride Ride. I met him there and then talked with him. Oh, you know. And there, is that your dad, uncle, grandpa? Your uncle. And Terry. So Uncle Terry, he was coming away, and I just saw him. And I went over and just laid hands on him, and I released the anointing. And I saw him on Monday, and he said to me, he said, when you prayed for me, he said, I just felt that it almost looked like a hammer, it hit me. And what it is that's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God wants to prove himself to you, not that he has to, not that he's obligated to, but God loves to show himself powerful. And the way God does that is through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. People are healed because of the anointing. People are delivered from demonic because of the anointing. Everything that is done with supernatural repercussions is done through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, not through the arm of flesh. So this is where we need to learn that God wants to use you. Turn to someone and say, God wants to use you in supernatural things. That's right. Every one of you, God wants to use you to release the supernatural power of God into people to set them free. The Bible's clear. It says the anointing has been sent to break the bondage, the yoke of bondage, which means if you know what a yoke is, two oxen, their heads are locked in. God's desire is that anointing would break those yokes so there's freedom. The anointing brings freedom in people's lives as well as validates that God is real and God is powerful. We talked about Jesus, how Jesus did not one supernatural act until he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. We know that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. And Jesus went about doing good, healing all those oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's Acts chapter 10, verse 38. We know that Jesus started moving in the supernatural power in Luke chapter 3, verses 21 through 23. When Jesus was being baptized, when he went down in the water, when he came out, the Bible says the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and a voice from heaven, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." At that very moment, Jesus started his ministry. No ministry was done by Christ until he was about 30 to 31 years old, and that only began when he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. So you and I, if Jesus is showing us that he needed to be anointed to do the works of God, then we too need to be anointed to do the works of God. Understanding the anointing allows you to flow and grow in how to release God's power through the elementary principles called the laying on of hands. So the anointing abides within. That's within your spirit man. So within you, and you know, this is the interesting part about cartoons and about a lot of the, Marvel comics and things in that manner. A lot of them will take little essences out of the Bible and contort it to be what they want it to be. But really, I mean, if you could see the anointing, you would see the presence of God dwelling inside of you in your spirit man. Your spirit, remember, you're a three-part being. You are a spirit who has a soul that lives in a body. Your spirit is either alive or dead. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then your spirit man is dead. The Bible says you are dead in your trespasses and sins. But the moment you become born again, that's found in Ephesians chapter 2, the moment you become born again, you become alive in Christ, that you become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Literally, not figuratively, the Holy Spirit literally dwells inside of you and possesses your spiritual man. Now, you also have a soul. Your soul is your intellect, your emotions, and your will. When you're not born again, that's what you completely live out of. You are driven more by your emotions and more by circumstances than you are anything else. This is why the Bible says, walk by faith and not by sight. Now, the third part you are is your physical body. Someone pinch the person next to you, make sure they are alive. Yeah, she's alive. Hey, you deserve it. That's a good sign. That's a good sign. She's a living. So here we are. Your physical body is very interesting because everyone looks at you as you are your physical body. But actually, your physical body is nothing more than a slave. Your physical body is either a slave to your spirit man, where the Holy Spirit abides, or your soulish man, your intellect, your emotions, and will. And so how you can tell whether somebody's walking in God or not is how they're acting out in their physical body. When they're running around, dropping the F-bombs and flipping people off and getting, you know, going drunk every weekend, all that means they're living in their flesh. How do we know that? Well, because the flesh man or the physical man is literally a slave to either your spirit man or your soulish man. So we literally will manifest what we are actually believing. You know how people always say, don't judge me. You ever heard somebody say that? Don't judge me. You can't judge me. Well, no one needs to judge you. We judge ourselves. Because how we act, you shall know them by their fruits. How they act in their physical body, what shows who they're submitting to. Everybody in this room is submitting to either the Holy Spirit or your own. You're either submitting to the flesh of man, which is your intellect, emotions, and will, or you're submitting to Christ. In that is so important. Because when you're born again, we're called to live in the Spirit to allow God's Spirit to live through us. Galatians 2:20. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to live through you. And that's the important part, because each one of you, turn to someone next to you and say, you are extremely important. That is extremely true. What does that mean? That there are certain people on this planet that only you have been called to touch. That is powerful. And I'll tell you why that's powerful. Because if you don't touch them, nobody will. If you don't minister to them, nobody will. Which means, literally, people are relying upon you for their eternal life or their eternal death. So if you aren't living for God, you're not walking in Christ, then what happens is they're not going to hear the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. If they're not hearing the gospel, then they're not going to get saved. If they don't get saved, where do they go? Well, remember, hell is the holding tank. That's the nice place. Where is hell going to burp? The lake of fire. That's Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. So every one of us need to recognize how important our lives are and living in the Holy Spirit and then learning what we're talking about here in elementary school, that we need to know how to get the power of God that is resident within us out of us to touch other people through the supernatural power of Jesus. People do not need another religious story. They need to experience the power of God. You can deny church, you can deny religion, but if Jesus touches you, you can't deny that. You might not want to live it, but you can't deny it. And that's where the power of God must start manifesting in the churches again, and that's what we push here on a constant basis, that it's important that you experience God, that God's power touches you and ministers to you, not just that you hear a religious statement on a Sunday morning. Amen? So this is important that we want to make sure you understand. That anointing abides where? The anointing abides where? The power of God, the supernatural power of God abides where? Where's the word? What's the word abide mean? Lives in. That means it's always there. If you're born again, the power of God is there at all times, morning, noon, and night. Whether you're thinking about it, not thinking about it, the power of God is resident, waiting to be released to do work on behalf of another. Who's the other? God himself. See, that's the exciting part. You and I have been called to work on behalf of heaven. We are ambassadors on this planet. We have been called with a purpose and a design to release the power of God into people's lives so they experience the living God, not a God of religion, so that when they're touched, they cannot deny that God is real. Now, that abiding anointing, you and I need to learn how to get it out of here, our spirit, and get it into other people. And that is the elementary principle of the laying on of hands. Now, we talked a little bit about the fake one. What was that called? I forgot. Reiki, thank you. The fake that's happening right now. Remember, the devil always tries to come and counterfeit. Reiki right now is one of the big things that's happening in America. Right now in the Northeast, it's just absolutely saturated. You should never go and get a massage or any type of bone cracking. You should never get any of that stuff without asking them first if they are Reiki masters. If they are, you do not let them lay hands on you, because whether you realize it or not, they realize what they're doing. They're laying hands on you and releasing demonic power into your life. So you need to make sure that you are not having a Reiki master lay hands on you. It's very important. Because they're releasing, they understand the anointing, and it's a fake anointing, but they're understanding the power of the demonic. And if they lay hands on you, they'll release the demonic power into your life. So pay attention. This is why, as the church, we have to train each other. We have to understand what we're talking about so that we're not ignorant. Turn to someone and say, ignorance is not bliss. So the anointing abides where? Within us. We know the anointing can also be increased. So there are some people you see that have more power than other people. It's not that they're more special. It's that they've learned how to increase the anointing, increase the capacity of the power of God in their life. I know individuals that the moment they get in the presence of the Lord, if the man of God, woman of God goes over to touch them, they go out in the spirit almost immediately. Where I've literally seen, I was really frustrated, I'll just tell you, but I'm talking about a part of it, it's about me, where I've studied this stuff and really moved in the power of God for so long that my capacity is much larger than people that are freshly born again. You can liken it under somebody starting to drink. You give somebody a six-pack of beer who's never drank before in their entire life, probably by 2 or 3, they're starting to feel it. By 6, they're gone. You got somebody who's been drinking a lot. Maybe they've been drinking for years and years and years. You know, they can drink. In fact, I have a relative that is major vodka, and he could be absolutely sloshed. You'd never know it. Never know it. Because his capacity of being able to hold is much greater. The anointing is a lot like that in the essence of being able to build your capacity. And I remember I was at Rod Parsley's ministry, and they had all the pastors come up and their wives, and they're all stretched across. It's a church about 5,000. And the anointing was just really strong. The power of God was really strong. And he started laying hands on the pastors and the pastors' wives. And the power of God was hitting them so hard. Have you ever seen somebody fall out in the spirit and you wonder what that is? You wonder what that's like sticking your finger in a light socket. So what happens is it's a natural body reacting to the spiritual man. So some people go out in the spirit, and when the power of God is really strong, I've actually literally watched hundreds, and one time I watched 10,000 people go out in the spirit at the exact same time. That was powerful. That was at a Benny Hinn crusade. And that wasn't fake. That wasn't fake. Some people say, it's fake. Oh, no, I'm sorry, I was there. Problem was, I was the only one standing on that whole side. And then when Brother Parsley's going down through the line, laying hands on everybody, Rhonda, he got to my wife, and he got literally, like, from me to my uncle, to my wife, and she went, Now, you got to know, my wife don't fake nothing. So, you know, some of those people might have been given a courtesy drop, but my wife was no courtesy drops, man. Got about that far, and boom, she's out. She's laying there. I'm going, whoa. He came to me and went, whack, whacked me on the head, and I went, all right. Another 30, 40 minutes, I got back to my chair, 30, 40 minutes. His mother stood up. She says, I just sense the double portion of the Holy Spirit, double portion of God. If you want a double portion of God, then you need to get up here. And I was first in line. And she took a handkerchief that had been worn. Remember, the anointing is transferable. And she dropped it on my head. Literally, the entire lower portion of my body went completely numb. Phew. Couldn't find it, but I wasn't going down. I'm stumbling all over the altar. I never went down. So I'm saying to Brother Ted one time, I says, why is it everybody else like Rhonda, you know? And he says, it's capacity. And what it is the more you learn how to flow in the anointing, the more your capacity is built. And so with that, we know that you can increase in the anointing. And that's what I want to talk about now. How do you increase the anointing that's in your life? Jesus, the Bible says, was anointed without measure, which again proves you can measure the anointing. It can be increased and or decreased. So if Jesus was anointed without measure, and that's found in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 34, for whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. Elisha received a double portion. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. So it was when he crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I may do for you before I am taken away from you. And Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So every single believer is anointed, but there are different levels of anointing. Whether you like it or not, the closer you sit to the front of the church during the service, the anointing is stronger. If you've never done that before, you need to venture on to the North Country. You need to get out of your chair, get to the front of the altar. The altar is stronger at the front than it is in the back. Well, why is that? Well, there are more distractions in the back. And so it's easier to get distracted from the presence of God. But when you're up front, you're focused. And when you fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, I want you to know that God's Spirit's going to be poured upon you. And it is awesome. The anointing is always stronger in the front. Now, I know people who move in, we'll talk about Brother Ted here for just a second, Brother Ted Shuttlesworth. I've watched the anointing increase in his life. I remember many years ago where I've watched him with the word of knowledge and God heals people. But just probably in the last 6 to 8 months, I'm going to say a year. In the last year when his spiritual father died, which was R.W. Shambach, and his natural father died a few years ago, Brother Ted was taken from being like a lieutenant to being a general in the spirit. And what happened was we watched the increase of the capacity, the anointing in his life, to where literally just the other day I was listening, and he walked up to an individual. He said, the Lord wants to heal you today. And by the way, do you know somebody named, I forgot the name, I'll just say John. It wasn't John. Do you know somebody named John? And the person said, oh, that's my name. And then I literally watched him one time break down a person's address. The Holy Spirit literally told him the physical address where he actually lived. One of the cool ones that happened with some of the folks in our church was the older couple that sit right over in this side. And I remember we were up in Rochester, and Brother Ted was moving in the anointing. The anointing had been increasing in his life, and the power of God, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we'll be getting into those in a few weeks. And I watched him call out Shirley and call out Ed. He said to Ed, he's Shirley, I'm sorry, he said to Shirley, this morning you were praying for your husband, In fact, in your house, there is a side door. When you step out the side door, there are three steps. On this step is this set of shoes, that set of shoes right there. That's what they look like. And on the wall, there is a picture. And this is the picture on the wall. You were praying for your husband. You're so concerned because he has a heart problem. You literally leaned up against that wall, not going down to the bottom step, but staying on the middle. And you prayed for your husband that God would touch him tonight. He said, sir, you need three stents, or you have two stents. You need one more. God's going to take the stents out. God's going to take you off your medication, and you'll be healed from this night forward. He leaned over, touched Shirley. Shirley literally blew out of her shoes. She flew back like literally three rows and landed on the floor. And if you've ever seen Shirley, she's kind of frail, you know. The power of God. I remember one time I was praying in Gardner, Massachusetts, and my aunt's husband, Neil, he was sitting in the front row, and I just felt the Holy Spirit to go lay hands on and pray for him. Remember what happens when you lay hands on somebody? What happens? You release the anointing. It's elementary. That's how the first step of releasing the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I walked over, went to go lay hands on him, got about 3 inches from his face. Literally, he was picked up, and he was thrown back about the fourth row. He took out four rows of chairs. Remember that? You were there. He got up like 30 minutes later, and he said, did you see that? And I said, well, I watched that part. He said, but when you got like 3 to 5 inches from my face, he said, literally lightning bolts came out of your hands. And when they hit me, that's all I remember. That's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God loves to release the anointing, and it's not special for Pastor Spencer. It's not special with any other pastor. How many of you are born again? Well, not everybody, so we'll have an altar call. Jesus. If you are saved, who dwells in you? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. What does that mean? Who releases the anointing in your life? The Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God works through you to release the power of heaven to touch other people and to change their lives. I remember I was in Providence, Rhode Island. I was just learning the anointing, and we were praying for people and actually witnessing on the streets downtown Providence. And we came upon a man. He was stooped over, beard. His beard was all stained in the front. His mustache was all stained with nicotine. His fingers were all stained and burned. He had a bottle right next to him, and he was definitely drunk. He was living on the streets. You could smell him. He was definitely living on the streets. We walked over to him, shared the gospel with him, and he says, well, I'm just a drunk. I said, but Jesus loves drunks, and God's going to heal you. God's going to set you free, and I believe that today you're going to be made whole. He looked at me and goes, ugh. Laid hands on him in the name of Jesus. The power of God hit him. I'm not exaggerating. Within 30 seconds, he was completely sober, stood up, came to the church with us, gave his heart to Jesus, and never drank again. That's the power of God. Yes?
Even while he was under the influence of alcohol?
Absolutely. Jesus can sober a man up just like that. It's powerful to realize the power of God is just waiting to be released. But what's happened is we've made it in the church world about the superstars. Listen, there are no superstars in this church. God doesn't love me any more than he loves you. I have a different job than you have, and you have a different job than I have. Let's stop playing games. Let's get this job done. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So what happens is the anointing is in you, waiting to be released through you. The basics is the laying on of hands. So increasing the anointing in your life is very important. Number one, you want to make sure that you get in the corporate anointing. Everybody say the corporate anointing. You have the individual anointing, which is abiding where? Within you. Everybody shout, I'm anointed.
I'm anointed.
Tell somebody else, I'm anointed.
I'm anointed.
You are anointed. Every one of you are born again, are anointed. But there's something else called the corporate anointing. Now, the corporate anointing is found in Psalms 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. It is there like the anointing oil that flows over the head of Aaron. Aaron was one of the high priests, down over his beard, down over his cloak, down to his feet. And it's there that God commands the blessing. The corporate anointing is when one person who's anointed in the room, okay, so we have more than one anointed in the room. When you bring multiple together, you are creating what we call synergy in the spirit realm. That is where you have one person, that's powerful. But when you get many together who have the same presence, the same power of God, the increase of the anointing automatically rises. Now, I want you to recognize we don't just do church on a Sunday morning. I hope y'all know that, right? We don't do church on a Sunday morning. If we're going to do church on a Sunday morning, it would be 45 minutes. We'd be out of here. But we are here at 7:15 a.m. every Sunday morning, and we have been praying, calling on the power of God to be released in the corporate anointing at His Tabernacle Family Church. Now, I believe this is our sixth week. We saw last week between the campuses, both campuses, 20 people gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the last month and a half, we have seen almost 75 people give their hearts to Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We have had great miracles. Just this Sunday, we had Pastor Dan's wife, Jody, was healed on Sunday morning. I had a word of knowledge, which is the gifts of the Spirit, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Literally, I physically feel the pain that somebody has. I called that out. It was the arch right next to the heel on the right foot. And I have no clue about who that was for. I just called that out. And she sent a testimony that she had been in such agonizing pain. She is a server. And that she had been changing shoes. She went, I think, three different pairs of shoes, and it wasn't working. And that she received her healing. She went to work that night, and she did not have any pain before and during and or after. God completely made her whole. That is the power of God. And in the corporate anointing, it is more powerful. Now, expectations is the breeding ground of miracles. So what happens is when people expect a miracle, they put a draw on that corporate anointing so it is released in a greater capacity. So when you're coming to church on a Sunday morning, if you're just coming to church, well, you know, I guess I got to go to church today. I don't want a pastor to call me in the middle of the service. Yes, sir. Where are you, Rich? Poor Josh Fuchsman gets it more times than you can count. Josh? Can't see you. I'm over to the right, Pastor. I'm to the right. What happens is this, is that corporate anointing allows God's power to flow in a greater capacity. So when we all come saying, God, I want to experience more of you. God, I want to experience your power in my life. God, I have this situation or this need in my life. I'm coming expecting you to move in my life. You're literally putting a draw on the anointing, and the power of God will be more manifested in the presence of the corporate body. You know, we had Brother Charles Endifon come in not too long ago. It was about a year and a half ago. He's a Nigerian evangelist, and he moves individually in such a corporate way, individually in the anointing, to where we had a lady, her name is Marge. Actually, I'll just talk about the little boy. That was a very interesting one. About 4 years ago, a family that was in the church had a little boy who was getting a cochlear. Implant, and they wanted Brother Ted to pray over the child before that happened. And so they brought the little child, he was probably 7 or 8 years old, into my office, and Brother Ted looked and said, yes, he's not your child. And I'm thinking, oh, crap, I'm in trouble now. Because I didn't know he was adopted. I had no clue. But the Spirit of God knows. He said, that's not your child, and this sickness is not from your family or a problem. It came from the original family, and God's going to heal the child. And Also, he had another problem, and he starts talking about this other physical problem that there's absolutely no way he could have ever known. Prayed, the child was healed in one section, but the hearing was the same. The child went and got the cochlear, did I say that right? The cochlear implant so he could hear, and it was really cool, it was working. And then Charles Endifon came about a year and a half ago, called the mother and the child up and said, God's going to heal your child's ears. Take that out of his ears. So I guess they could take something out or do something, and it disabled it, and laid hands on him in the name of Jesus. And he went out back and whispered, and the child said what he was hearing. You remember that, don't you? You were there for that too. Miracles. The corporate anointing, man, is a great breeding ground for the miraculous. And so when you come on a Sunday, man, I hope you do realize, I don't just come here to preach a sermon and go home. I want to see God move. I want to see lives changed. I want to see people saved. I want to see people set free. I want to see miracles and healing. And I expect that every single week when I come to church. If you expect it, the increased anointing in the house will actually rise, and we'll see even more miracles than we've ever seen before. Our church sees a lot of miracles, sees a lot of people saved, but I want to see more. Can I hear an amen? Amen? So the disciples were anointed in the Gospels, but the anointing was the Old Testament. It wasn't until Jesus rose from the dead. Now, if you want to increase in the anointing, one of the very first things that you need to do is get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Speaking in other tongues is very important. Now, it doesn't make you a better Christian. It doesn't make you more important to God, but what it does do is it increases the anointing of God in your life. Y'all need the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. We talked about that a few weeks ago, what it does on an individual. It encourages yourself in the Lord. Also, it's stirring up the gift of God that you receive by the laying on of hands. You need the baptism. The Bible says that when you're praying in the Spirit, you're speaking divine secrets, you're praying things you don't know of, and God is working through you, and he is releasing miracles, signs and wonders, and actually, even for yourself, he's edging out your future as you're praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. So you all need to pray in tongues. That's one way you really, 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 really need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So I push people for that, not because I think that it's just a cool thing, although it is pretty cool, but really you receive power. Now the Bible says in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but you shall receive power. The word power there is the Greek word called dunamis. The word dunamis means dynamo, supernatural power. But you shall receive power. You shall receive supernatural power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're going to find that there's a greater power inside of you. Power to overcome your own temptations. Power to overcome and to release into other people for miracles, signs, and wonders. God wants to use you. You need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, also, if you want to increase the anointing, you need to be refilled. Many people don't realize this, but in Acts chapter 2, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues. But then in Acts chapter 4, they were refilled. So they were filled in Acts chapter 2, and then they got refilled in Acts chapter 4. That's found in 27 through 31. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and purpose determined before to be done. Now look on their threats. They were being threatened. They were being told, don't preach the gospel. Don't pray for people who are sick. So they were being threatened by the religious folk. And this is what was said. Look on their threats. Grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the holy name of your son, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Boldness is an evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes when you go praying for people, you need an extra set of boldness. Now, let me give you an example. Yes, thank you, daughter-in-law. I was called to a house in Enfield, New York. And this man that was there was had been out of it for over a month. He was not coherent. He was not dead, but non-responsive. And, of course, hospice was called in. And they called me just to go up and to pray for the man. He was not born again. And so I took my associate at that point in time. We went up to the house. His wife was there. I said, is it possible that you could go downtown with your daughter? I just want to spend a few minutes with your husband. I wanted to be unhindered so I could step out in faith, release the anointing without the wife trying to figure out what I was doing. And so she went downtown to Friendly's to eat breakfast with her daughter. And I walked over to his bed. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to sit up now. What I did was I laid hands on him, released the anointing, and he sat right up in bed. Toosh. I said, hi, sir, how are you? He says, good, how are you? I introduced myself and I said, listen, do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? He says, I do not. I said, sir, you need Jesus. He said, yes, I do. I led him to the Lord. He gave his heart to Christ right there. I prayed for him, ministered to him, and in walked his wife after breakfast. She looked over, and he called her a pet name. I forget what the pet name was, but the moment the pet name came out of his mouth, she starts weeping. She grabbed him. They're holding each other. And I know that's awe, but man, I was really kind of grossed out. There was fecal matter on the bed, and they hadn't bathed him in a long time. I was not all right, so I needed a mirror. I needed him to get the miracle so I could leave. And so I just, it's just not my gift. And so he got up, you know, and he's talking to his wife and praise the Lord. They talked for hours. He laid back down and 2 days later he died. He was right there on the threshold of eternity, but God released the anointing, got him out of death so that he could hear the gospel, be saved, and then he went home to be with Jesus. Isn't that cool? So miracles are so fun. I love praying for miracles. I love releasing the anointing. The power of God is real. I've watched in services where literally the glory of God has revealed himself. Now, what does that mean? The glory is like a cloud. You can actually physically see a cloud appear in the congregation. We had a cloud of glory appear in the back there probably about 3 years ago. There were five grown men that were standing there, and they were so freaked out, they went in and tried to move the cloud with their hands. The power of God is real. I've watched where the anointing has been so strong, it's just like the river of God. My brother-in-law, who is, if you had no Chad Mays, there is no fake in his bones. And I literally watched him as the river of God was flowing across the front of the altar. I watched him jump up on the steps and literally dove like you're diving into water. And he dove into the river of God. I literally watched a man run from the back of the altar. And when he hit the anointing, the river of God, the power of God, it was just like he was running through water. It would zoom right into slow mode speed. It was the most amazing thing. I watched another man as the anointing hit him, literally froze in spot. For almost an hour and a half, didn't move an inch, and he was just like this. There's no way a man can hold himself still for that long and not move. Now, for those who aren't sure about that, you can look way back in the early 20s, and at the World Fair in Chicago, there was a great preacher who was frozen in spot for 7 days. They did newspaper articles on her and everything because she did not move, frozen for 7 days in the spirit. And when she came to, she finished her sentence that she stopped with 7 days before. Wow. Many of you have never heard of the Azusa Street Revival, 1906. Great outpouring of God's anointing in the corporate presence of God, where the body was coming together. There was a man named William Seymour, an African-American. And at that point in time, African-Americans were not allowed to go out and preach in anything else but a black church. In fact, when he went to Bible school in Texas, he was not allowed to sit in the Bible school. He had to sit in a separate room all by himself to get Bible school. He had a call to go out to California to preach a revival at a church. He went out to that church, stepped into the church on a Sunday morning and preached about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues. He came back that night and the door was padlocked. So a lady opened her house so he could come and preach at her house. The corporate anointing was so strong that people would be walking by on the street, not Christians, walking by on the street, they'd be going out in the spirit, just walking by on the streets. The power of God was so strong that literally the front porch, there were so many people trying to get into that little house that the front porch literally fell off the house. So they moved it to our old horse barn on Azusa Street. The old man, Brother Seymour, would pray all day. He would walk out to the service. He would get on his knees, stick his head in a chicken crate that was set up like a pulpit, and he would just start to pray, and miracles would start to pop all over that sanctuary. Literally, the fire department was called two times that the building was on fire, and when they got there, there was not a physical fire, but a spiritual fire, and you can't put that out. The power of God was so strong one day that a newspaper person came to defunk it and say that it was fake. So they had a prayer line. So this newspaper man was in the prayer line. And he got up to Brother Seymour and he says, "What would you like?" He said, and he faked. He faked that he was paralyzed on the right side to say, you know, "You're a liar." So he says, "Sir, so be it as unto your faith." Boom, he was struck. He was paralyzed on that whole right side just as he faked it on the way down. 2 days later, he came back through the prayer line and God set him free. He wrote a really good story. You see, the anointing is real. And in the corporate presence of God, when the body of Christ comes together, it can never be just a religious, organizational, structured meeting. The Holy Spirit must be allowed to move, change lives, heal bodies, restore individuals' hearts and minds. God's Spirit loves to manifest himself because God is real. And God loves to release his power. The church has been afraid of his power. My goodness, it's crazy. The world is running to satanic power, and the church is running from God's power. Well, I want you to know in this house, we'll never be ashamed of the power of God. Amen. If God stops moving, then I'm moving.
That's why I'm here.
That's right. That's why this 83-year-old man moved all the way with his wife from New Hampshire to come out here to New York. And how old were you? You were 80 years old when you moved, right? About 80 years old. Left everything to come out here. Why? Because God's moving in this house. We've got to have a greater hunger. That will increase. So the corporate anointing, you need to be refilled. Some of you are afraid to share the gospel. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That anointing will bubble out of you and burst out of you. You won't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. And you'll be able to share the gospel with people you never thought even possible because you'll have a Holy Ghost boldness. That's what the anointing is for. And then another part of how to increase the anointing is speaking in tongues all the time. You need to pray in tongues all the time. Then you simply need to start doing it. You need to start laying hands on people. I remember I was in northern Maine, and I was in Skowhegan, Maine. And there was this woman who said, "Sir, my cat is dying." I said, "Go lay hands on your cat." She said, "It's a cat." I said, "Go lay hands on your cat." She went and laid hands on her cat, and her cat got healed. Had a lady show up at my house one day, her dog ate rat poisoning. It was a white dog. It had a little green tint to it. Brought it to the vet. The vet said, "It's just a matter of time. Dog's going to die. Too much poison in its stomach. No way to get it out." She said, "What are we going to do?" I said, "Well, God will heal your cat. Heal your dog." Laid hands on that dog in the name of Jesus, and God healed that dog. Had another lady come to me. She said, "Pastor, my horse, a stick went up through the frog of my horse's hoof." There's no way, the veterinarian said, there's no way that it will ever be fixed. That horse will be lame the rest of its life, and I have to make a decision whether I have to put the horse down or not. I said, "No, honey, let's not put the horse down. Let's watch God's power, the anointing, penetrate a horse and heal its frog." I laid hands on that horse in the name of Jesus, and the doctor came back, and the veterinarian came back and says, "I don't understand it, but the frog is perfect, is fine. The horse will never be lame, and the..." There's only one person that can get glory for that. That's Jesus. I've watched every kind of miracle, from brain tumors disappear, multiple sclerosis being healed. I've watched every kind of miracle you could ever imagine. Listen, I couldn't doubt if I wanted to, because I've watched the anointing change lives. Listen, it's not about the preacher. You're in locations that I am not. You're around people that I'll never be around. And they need God in their life. They need you to know how to move in that anointing, to release the power of God. I'll never be there. You are. And the sooner you learn how to release that anointing, the more people's lives that will be transformed, that will be saved from going to the lake of fire, and they'll get to know God. And let me tell you, knowing God is great. Michael, you're a barber, right? There's nobody that gets more opportunity to lay hands on anybody than a barber. Besides doctors. It is amazing. I was talking to a woman in our church, and I said, "Lady," she was a woman barber. I said, "You need to lay hands on every one of these people that you're cutting hair and start releasing the anointing as you're cutting their hair." She says, Do I have to pray out loud? I said, "Absolutely not. You just have to lay hands and release." When you learn how to release that anointing, which we're going to get into now, you'll realize that you can pray for somebody, they don't even have to know it. And God's power is being released in their life. And it's God's power that destroys the yoke of bondage. Remember, I was telling a wife whose husband was had been an alcoholic. I love you, honey. You're good. Thank you for coming. Had been an alcoholic for 40 years. He was not interested in God in any way, shape, or form. I said, "What I want you to do is I want you to wait for him to fall asleep. Then I want you to lay hands on him and release the anointing in his life." She said, "But what if he wakes up?" I said, "No big deal." So she started doing that. And one night, she said, "I could just feel the presence of God increasing in my life. I reached over and I laid hands on him and I released the power of God and he sat up." "What are you doing?" She said, "Well, I'm praying for you." He said, "Well, stop that." Just a few weeks later, he sat up in bed again and said to her on a Sunday morning, "I don't really understand it, but I'm miserable and I need what you've got." God's anointing working in his life, and he didn't even know it. God loves to show his power. Amen? Amen? This is where you play a large part. Man, shaking hands with people. You know, I like shaking hands with people. But when I'm shaking hands, I'm not just shaking hands. I'm releasing the anointing. They don't know it. It doesn't matter what they know. It matters what I know. Because everybody's dealing with something in their life. And need the power of God to manifest in their life. So when you're walking around, I had a lady that worked at the high school. That's right, lay hands on your wife, your brother. He grabbed her, released the anointing. See the smile on her face? The anointing makes you always smile. We had this woman that worked at Ithaca High School. We taught her these principles, the Word of God. So you know what she did at the Ithaca High School? She was a hall monitor. She just walked by and slapped everybody. They had no clue. She's releasing the anointing. Boom. Boom. And I just want you to know that this is real. So how do you release the anointing? Well, the anointing can be released in many different manners. So let's just talk about it real quickly. The number one principle is the laying on of hands. Now, when I pray for people, many times, come here. One of the very first things that I do when I'm praying for people, releasing the anointing, is I very rarely just go to anybody. What I do is I pay attention, because people can draw the presence of God. It's like a big bucket going into a well. And so I look for somebody that is open to the presence of God moving in their life. I remember praying for a man one time. I laid hands on him, and the catcher went out in the spirit, because he didn't want the power of God to touch his life. It went literally right around him and knocked out the catcher. But when I'm going to lay hands on somebody, you'll always know that I'm not a muscle man. Now, there are some ministers that hit you hard. Boom! They hit you, and you either go out or you want to go out because it hurts so bad. Whenever I pray for somebody, I'm very gentle, because I don't want anybody to ever say that I pushed them down or I've hurt them or that I tried to make something happen. I believe the power of God is as real as it needs to be. In fact, many times when I'm praying for people, you'll see that I will touch their face like that, but then I'll come off their face and I won't even be touching them any longer. Why? Because the power of God, I just laid hands on them. But for my faith level, I don't need to be near you. I can release the power of God right where you are. I've learned how to flow in that presence like that. But if you're learning the elementary principles, the Bible says that you lay hands on them and the anointing is going to come out of your belly. That's where your spirit, that's how to identify your spirit, man. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. You'll feel the anointing rise up. Now, when I was a kid, I grew up in a small town in Massachusetts. We had what was called a town pump. Stay right there. We always called the town pump. And we'd be done basketball. We'd go up to the town pump. And it took about 3 pumps to get the water from the well to come on out. It was one of those old, old pumps. And it was nice and cold water. And when you drank it, it was good and refreshing. So what I've learned for myself when I'm laying hands on people, especially when I'm starting out to go pray for folks, you'll usually see me rise up on the ball of my foot. That has nothing to do with anybody else. That has everything to do with my faith. Because in my spirit, I'm pumping the well. And I'll just lay hands on somebody, and I'll just release the power of God. And usually what I'll do is I'll just rock up, and I'll release the presence of God. And the more that I sense the presence of God, the more the presence of God will increase. And so I'll just release the anointing in the name of Jesus. Now there's the anointing. Now here we go. Father. Okay, so here we're going to go one more dose. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release your anointing. In Jesus' name. Now, you can tell usually a courtesy drop, they'll try to fix their shirt. But what happens is the power of God, God loves to touch you with his power. And you can't fake it. Either God's touched you or he hasn't touched you. Either the anointing is released in your life or it's not released in your life. And for me, because I've learned the laying on of hands, and it's elementary. You can literally walk up to somebody. There's the anointing right there. And you learn just to lay hands and release. Now, he's very sensitive to the spirit, so I know if I touch Uncle Harold, he's always receptive. So you don't mind, do you? Father, there is the anointing. And you just feel the presence of God just flow out of you. It's literally like a well. And if you never practice, you're never going to figure anything out. So you can pray for your dog. You can pray for your cat. You can pray for your neighbor's dog. I've prayed for cars, and God's healed cars before. You didn't know that. God can heal a car.
I've been praying over my car.
I'm telling you, God heals cars. But the most exciting is when God touches, God's power touches a human being created in his image, and that anointing starts shifting things in their life. And that's the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so the laying on of hands is elementary. That's where you need to start. I remember we had a lady. When we started to teach this. She had an enormous headache on the way home from work. And I always tell everybody, lay hands on yourself. Yeah. She laid hands on herself and she released the power of God. She said, in Jesus' name, I release the anointing. Headache was gone. Well, how is that possible? Well, because it's supernatural, not natural. You see, God loves to heal. He loves to touch you. And he loves to touch other people through you. But if you never do anything, it's just like going to college and never using your degree. It's just like learning how to get somebody healthy and never doing it. It's like learning how to put a pair of shoes on and tie them, but never doing it. This is elementary school. So you need to start practicing how to release the anointing by stepping out in faith. I used to practice on my wife. Seriously, I'd wait for her to go to sleep. And I'd release the anointing. And I'd say, God, if she really feels it, I want her to wake up. I remember one time we were in Massachusetts. I released the anointing. And I felt a strong flow of God's power. And she sat up. She goes, what are you doing? I says, just practice it. But you got to practice. You know, whenever you start moving in the things of God, you practice, you learn, you grow, you mature. And so there's a need to flow in the power of heaven. So if you're never going to lay hands on anybody, don't worry, you'll never see anything happen. Your granddaughter, your wife, good morning. Was that all right? That's not bad. Kayla literally feels tingling in her hands when it's time to lay hands on somebody who needs a miracle. She literally feels tingling in her fingers. And when she lays hands on people, they get healed.
I'd like that.
You'd like that? Or you have that?
I like it.
You have that?
No, I said I'd like
you want that. Okay, have it. I don't care. It's really important that you start learning how to move in the power of God. Because this is how he needs to use you. When there are people that, they'll never come to church. But when you touch them with the power of heaven, they won't ever be able to deny God. And that's you. That's why this is not for the special chosen frozen. This is for every single believer. If you're a believer, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So this is the basic in the process of conduit. Here we go. I need you to go do the lights. Do you remember the light thing? Now, in Niagara Falls, we have what's called dynamos. Do everybody know what they are? The big turbines. When the water goes over cascades, it turns the turbine. The more the turbine turns, what happens? It generates power where we get electricity. And then it goes to what we call substations. From substations, it's sent out to transformers. Transformers, it goes into buildings. It goes into what we call our panel. From the panel, then it goes to the switches. And the switches are what activate our lights. Lights? You got them? Now, my question to you is this. Not that you can count those lights, because I really like it black in here when we do this. Those lights are not on, but is there power to the lights?
No.
Yes.
Not if the switch is off.
Well, you're beating me to the punch, Uncle. But is there power? Yeah, there's power right there resident. But it's not until you flip the switch that the power goes to the lights. So the power is at the switch, but if the switch is turned off, There's no lights. But is there power going to the switch?
Yeah.
Is there power going to the switch?
Yeah.
The turbines, the dynamos, creating energy all the way from Niagara Falls have gone to the substation, from the substation to the transformers, from the transformers to the building, from the building to the switch. Is there light? Is there power to the lights right now? Well, yes and no.
That's a trick question.
That is a trick question. Because the answer is, there is power, but until you flip the switch, the lights don't come on. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. You have the power resident within you. And until you flip the switch, nothing's ever going to happen. There's still power waiting to be released. The power's waiting at the switch. Who's the switch? You are. The laying on of. So if you never lay hands, what happens to the lights? Nothing's happening. Is there power available? Flip the switch. That's you. Until you start to lay hands on people, releasing the power of God, don't ever worry, the lights will stay off. Even though the power is there, right there to be released. But what if I pray for something and nothing has to pray for somebody and nothing happens? Well, at least you prayed for somebody. But what if it does happen? What if you pray for somebody? What if you don't pray for somebody and it was supposed to happen? You know, this is where you and I need to recognize that we're not on this planet to suck air and to make a few bucks, die, and go home. We're here for divine purpose. Not to do our will, but to do His will. Not to move in our power, but to move in His power. But what's happened with the body of Christ is the majority of people never flip the switch. So they only want the preacher to do it. The problem with that, I don't work with you. I don't know the people you know. I'm not around the sick folk that you're going to be around. I'm not around the demon-possessed that you're going to be around. I'm not around those who need to get saved that you're around. And until you and I recognize that this is not about a one-man show, but this is the body of Christ, and what Christ has set in order is that the anointing abides in us, and the anointing is the perpetual propulsion of the power of God, the energy of heaven to do the work on behalf of heaven, until we learn how to flip the switch, or until we simply start obeying, well, then we got a bunch of people that are sitting in the dark. Some of your friends are in the dark simply because you've never flipped the switch. And until you flip, whoa, come on now. Hit it, Brother Terry. Wrong way, Brother Terry. Other way. Turn that one off there too. Watch, this is where most, watch, this is where most of your friends are. They're in the dark. And if you'd never flip the switch, they're staying in the dark. But if you flip the switch, they'll see the light. So you got to start with the laying out of hands. Now, there is graduation beyond the laying out of hands. Jesus did the laying out of hands himself. This he taught us right out of the gate. Matthew chapter 8, verse 14 and 15. Now, when Jesus had come to Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law sick with a fever. So Jesus touched her hand, and the fever left her. The moment Jesus touched her hand, the fever left her. Matthew chapter 8, verse 3. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately, the leprosy was cleansed. Here's another way to release the anointing. It's called speaking the word. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 through 10, and when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading and saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having authority, soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. On Sunday mornings, especially first service, you find we always have time constraints. And so usually when I have a word of knowledge, you'll find me, I'll pray right up here. On Sunday morning, when I prayed for the foot, I gave a clear description where the pain was, exactly what foot it was in. And I said, now get ready. In the name of Jesus, I release the anointing, be healed. I didn't know who it was. I didn't know it was Jody. I didn't know where they were in the sanctuary. Might even have been on TV. All I know is that I knew that when I released the power of God, that they would be healed. Now, I didn't hear about it till that afternoon. But whenever I stand up here and give a word of knowledge like that, I always hear testimonies back. That was me, Pastor. Thank you. God healed me. God set me free. Pastor, I wasn't able to do this, but God healed me. That's right. You were healed on that. What was it? Your ear, your side of your face? Your eyes. He couldn't see. God healed him right there in the sanctuary. So the spoken word. I remember the very first time I was working in this was in Fort Plain, New York. I believe that's what the town is called. And I was in a sanctuary, and I was asking God to develop the anointing, develop in that gift. And so I walked out that night, and the Holy Spirit said, there is a person on this side with diabetes and a person in the back with ligaments destroyed in their knee. So I said, there's a person on this side, you have diabetes, if you'll just stand. And a person, I think they were like eight rows back, in that vicinity there, if you have a blown knee, I need you to stand up. God's going to heal you tonight. And the Lord said, I don't want you to lay hands on them. I want you to speak the word. I turned to the person over here. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command your pancreas to work properly. I right now curse diabetes in your body and command you to be healed in the name of Jesus. Now go home, make sure you test and do things correctly, and you'll find that God has set you free. Now, I never touched that woman, never got near that woman, spoke the word to that woman. To the man in the back, I said, in the name of Jesus, I command your knee to be restructured. I command all ligaments to be reformed and reconnected by the power of God in Jesus' name. And I command all pain to be gone in the name of Jesus. And I said, now that's what I want you to do. I want you to get out in the aisle, and I want you to do what you couldn't do before. And he was not able to barely straighten his without agony and pain. He was able to move his limbs with absolutely no issues, no problem, ran up and down the stairs. God had completely set him free. That woman, she went home, and she took her normal insulin shot without testing first. And she had serious issues because she had been healed of diabetes and shot the insulin in. God is able to do abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. This power of the spoken word. That's another way to release the anointing. I'm almost done. The tangible transference through objects. And that is found in Acts chapter 19 through verse 11 and 12. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and disease left them and evil spirits came out of them. You always notice that I have a handkerchief. I use a handkerchief for two reasons. One, because I spit. But two, because the anointing is tangible and transferable. And when I have that handkerchief in my hand, the anointing, as I'm preaching, is literally penetrating the cloth. It's transferring into the cloth, the handkerchief, just like it was in Paul. Because the anointing is transferable. It is tangible. There are many people that take those handkerchiefs, they ask me for them at the end of the service, take them home, and God works miraculous things right when they take them to the house. Some of them put them in the pillow of their husband or wife that's unsaved. And man, God starts working in their life, and not too long after that, they're in the house of God getting born again. God loves to work miracles. So through tangible objects, R.W. Shambach, I don't know how many of you remember him, R.W. Shambach, this is the story about him. He was getting ready to preach, and a woman ran up to him, gave him a piece of candy. He looked at her and said, thank you very much. And he was getting ready to open it and eat it. She said, no, that's for my sister. She's in an insane asylum, and they steal everything. They steal her clothes, they steal everything, but for whatever reason, they don't touch her candy. She says, I want you to take that, I want you to wear it. So he put it in his pocket. He wore it while he preached. She took that piece of candy to the insane asylum, gave it to her sister, and within a week, she was released from the insane asylum. That's the tangible anointing of the Holy Spirit. Oh. I just got so much. I just can't go through it all. Wow. Okay. Spitting. What? I remember one time I was down in Georgia, and there was a woman with arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, another woman with rheumatoid arthritis. She could hardly move. And then a person who was deaf in their left ear. And I walked over, and I just stepped in the anointing. It was just like a puddle. I stepped in the anointing, and while I was there, I looked at my wife, Rhonda, and my wife, Rhonda, could see in the spirit, and she literally saw a puddle of golden oil on the floor. And these ladies were in that golden oil. And I walked over, and I said, what would you like? She said, I want to dance before God before I die again. She said, but my rheumatoid arthritis is so bad, I can't hardly move without agony and pain. I said, well, get ready. Jesus is going to set you free. I reached down in the oil, and I couldn't physically see it, but in the spirit was there, and I splashed her with the oil. And she took off dancing across that church. She danced all over that church for 25 or 30 minutes, completely made whole in Jesus' name. I walked over to the next lady, the anointing. She was standing in the puddle, the anointing. And I just scooped down and I released the anointing in her life. Didn't lay hands on her. Just scooped down and released the anointing. And she just stood there, just moving her limbs. She says, there's no more pain. I don't feel anything more. I'm healed. And she was so excited. Walked over to the man who had the deaf ear, and I said, get ready. God's going to open your left ear. And I reached down, and I released the anointing. I said, now ear open in Jesus' name. Boom. He could hear just as clear as the day that he was before he lost it, completely set free. He was able to hear. He was so excited. He was jumping and shouting all over that church. That next night, that next morning, I got a call from the preacher. He said, I'd like to see you in my office. And I said, sure. I said, you know, great miracles. We had a bunch of people saved too. It was awesome. So we went and sat down in his office, and he looked at me. He goes, what's this waving thing? And I said, well, I explained it. You know, my wife sees the puddle of the anointing, and I just release the anointing. He goes, well, I don't see that in the Bible, so I don't want you ever to do that in my church again. I said, no problem. I'll just spit on him. I never got invited back to that church. But I want you to know that Jesus spit on people more than once. Mark chapter 7, verse 33 through 35, Jesus spat. And actually, many people don't realize this, but there was an actual man. There was a man in the early 1900s. It was an Assemblies of God minister, an evangelist, in the back hills. He was known as the spitting evangelist. One day, and it's in the archives of the Assemblies of God, he walked up to a man who had been born with a birth defect. His arm only went to where his elbow was, and there was a hand on the end of where the elbow would normally be. He was born with a birth defect. The spitting evangelist walked over and went, in the name of Jesus, grow. It grew right out. They have it in the archives of the Assemblies of God of the exact event that happened through eyewitnesses. Powerful stuff. So spitting is another way. I usually won't do that here. Another one is the shadow. The Bible says in Acts chapter 5, 14 and 15, the believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets, laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. And they were healed even by the shadow of Peter. What you're looking for is what we call a point of contact, and that's why the laying on of hands is so important. Smith Wigglesworth, powerful man of God, mentioned in one of A.A. Allen's meetings, and Smith Wigglesworth was a great man. And then I'm going to just read this to you. And then he tells a story of how he was shocked at when they would do under the anointing. But the Spirit was telling him to do the same. He related a story about how God spoke to him to punch a woman in her deteriorating jaw. So he punched her in the face. She hit the floor out cold, and when she came to, she was completely healed. He punched another one in the stomach and was healed of a tumor. Isn't that hilarious? This is suspiciously similar to Kenneth Hagin's Tale of the Spirit. You know, I just can't go on. So let's just talk about it. Start with the laying on of hands. Don't hit people. Okay? You got to really know this God when you're going to punch people. Smith Wigglesworth actually kicked the child once. They brought a baby that was unable to walk up to Smith Wigglesworth on the altar. He said, "Set the child here on the altar." Set the child on the altar, and he walked up and he went, boom, kicked the kid off the altar. When the kid hit the floor, he was running. I know. You got to know what you're doing. But you can start with the laying on of hands. Amen? Turn to someone and say, flick the switch. Flick the switch. You got to flick the switch or you'll never see anything happen. God wants to use you. God's waiting to use you. The anointing is resident to be used in you. You got to flick the switch. Lay hands on somebody. Well, what do I say? You don't even have to say it out loud, but in the name of Jesus, I release the anointing. In Jesus' name, whatever you say in Jesus' name, God will move. In Jesus' name, I release the anointing. And you'll start learning. You'll feel the unction of God. You'll feel the power of God. Just start to move. But if you never practice, you'll never increase. Increase your capacity. I've literally had it to where I've just been able to speak it, and crowds will go out in the spirit. God loves to move. God loves to change lives. The anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. God needs you to pray for people at work. He needs you to pray for your friends and loved ones. He needs you to cast out devils in his name. He needs you to do that. Don't just bring him here. Get it done out there. Then bring him here and we'll just encourage him. Amen? Questions? By the way, this was week 2. Imagine if we did this chapter in 1 week. It'd been 6 hours. No questions? Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Thank you all for watching online. I pray that you were growing and educated. Edumacated. Amen. Father, we just reiterate now. Lord, we ask that you move in this place, Lord, even tonight. Holy Spirit, we'll just wait. God, we thank you. Your anointing is tangible and is real. Lord, we release your presence in this room in Jesus' name. Now, God, just like a cloud, just like a coat, go in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that you love us. Lord, we ask that you use us, not just touching us, but use us to touch other people with your love. So, Lord, we ask that you'll use us to heal sick people, to cast out devils. We ask that you'll use us, Lord, just so that people can actually experience the tangible presence of heaven, that they'll know God not by word, but by deed, how powerful you actually are. So in the name of Jesus, we just release your glory. And everybody said, amen. I love you. The offering's here. Remember, you never come to the King's house without a gift. We love you. Have a great night. Make sure you lay hands on at least 5 or 6 folk this week. Is that everybody going to do that? Amen. Sunday, we're preaching on the rapture. Man, you don't want to miss it.